Chapter 2. Zevran is shaking from more than just the cold, though it makes a convenient enough excuse. Nausea surges against the back of his throat, stinging in his nose and the backs of his eyes. And the memory of water pouring onto his face steals every third breath. Of all the tortures the crows taught him to withstand, that's the one he struggled with the most. Even the memory of water filling his mouth and nose, with no way to fight back, is enough to tighten his stomach. And the reality, coming out of nowhere, was a torture worthy of a master. At least that memory obscures the rest of the evening, which was strange enough before Alistair and the weather conspired to drown him. It hadn't felt strange at the time. But now, with nothing to do but think as he drags their gear from one tent to another, now it's so strange as to be terrifying. The game itself is one he knows well, and usually enjoys. To play at submission, to hand over a little control, and allow someone else to think they hold the reins. He's done it dozens of times. The crows trained him for it every bit as rigorously as they trained him to withstand torture. And he knows how to pretend that he's surrendering while he continues to plan and watch from behind downcast eyes. It served him well against more than one target, even when assassination wasn't his end goal. And tonight it began no different, just another opportunity to play, to watch Alistair blush and stammer until he was too hard to remember that he was supposed to be ashamed. Zevran would never admit it, but he takes great pleasure in watching that shame fall away, in seeing Alistair's face transform as he discovers some new pleasure he hadn't ever imagined. He isn't sure when tonight's game shifted, but somewhere between Alistair ordering him to put out the light and Alistair stroking him while whispering, "Mine," against his neck, Zevran's grip on the world let go. There was no anchor to ground him, no mission to focus his thoughts, no distrust or wariness to keep his mind that little bit separate from his body. There was only Alistair, and while there are any number of things he can't be trusted to do right, Zevran has never for a second worried that Alistair would ignore what he wants. The worst part of all is how little Zevran cared while it was happening. He gave over not the appearance of control, but the reality, without a moment's concern for what might happen. It slipped away from him bit by bit, and by the time it was gone, his desire to take it back was gone as well. His stomach cramps now, terror nearly overwhelming him. Between the memory of every time rough hands shoved his head beneath water, and the knowledge that his own mind betrayed him tonight, it's all he can do to keep moving, to carry armor and bedrolls into the new tent. He leaves everything else behind to deal with tomorrow. It's all drenched beyond hope now. There's no point in filling the dry tent with several stone of wet belongings. Over by the trees, Mahariel and Alistair are still talking, not nearly as quiet as they think they are, and Zevran forces himself to eavesdrop rather than to think about other things. Mahariel is apologizing, as she has been for a while, and Alistair isn't doing anything to help. "I should never have made you share a tent," Mahariel is saying, her voice anguished. "It never occurred to me that he might take advantage of you like that. Tease, I knew he would tease, but I never thought he would make you..." "He didn't," Alistair interrupts, and Zevran wants to shake him. "He didn't make me do anything." "I'll get you your own..." "I'm fine," Alistair says. Zevran leaves them to it, crawling into the new tent before he says something he'll regret. While Alistair has never been particularly good at lying, he's not even making an effort now. Zevran doesn't particularly care who knows what they're doing, but why go to such an effort to hide something and then spill it all at the first test? Being angry at Alistair is far preferable to thinking about the alternating waves of feverish heat and bone-aching cold that are racking his body. This is all Alistair's fault anyway, even if Zevran isn't quite sure how. Never in his life has he surrendered like that, And if the only new part of this is Alistair, then Alistair is somehow to blame. Nothing else makes sense. He's been marked by lovers before, by people he took willingly, and by those who were only targets. And while he was more than happy to mouth yes and yours to them, the words were only words. They pleased in the heat of the moment and meant nothing after it was done. But for a little while tonight, they were the only truths he knew. Nausea threatens again, and he forces it down, feeds it to the anger, and lets that build, even if it does nothing for the shaking and feverish chills. Anger has power, while terror does nothing but weaken him. And by the time Alistair crawls into the tent, Zevran has turned all his fear into rage. "What were you thinking?" he demands, when the shadow, that is, Alistair, is coming through the tent flap. "Morgan's tongue is not so sharp that I can't protect myself from it, and there was no need for you to say anything."
"I'm sorry?"
The apology does nothing to soothe Zevran's anger. "Are all Templars so bad at keeping secrets, or is it only you?"
"Mostly me," Alistair says, sounding thoroughly miserable.
Another hard chill runs through Zevran, and it only makes him angrier. "You have spent so much time working to keep this secret, and then you throw it all aside for nothing? You're not nothing!" That stops Zevran like a bucket of cold water to the face, except that he's trying not to think of that right now. His anger drains away, leaving him cold inside and out, and so tired it hurts.
"Alistair," he begins wearily, "I should have considered your lack of experience and perhaps said something before, but..."
"That's not it," Alistair says, and now he sounds angry. "Maker, why does everyone think I'm an idiot? Just because I don't know everything you do, that doesn't mean I'm stupid. I'm not in love with you or whatever it is you think." This is followed by a short, harsh laugh that scrapes at Zevran's skin. Still, appearances must be maintained.
"I am quite charming," he says, in a tone of exaggerated modesty.
"You're an ass," Alistair says. "And I know this, what we're doing, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a way to pass the time. When the Archdemon is dead, if we survive, you'll go on your way and I'll go back to pretending I'm someone else." Zevran is struck speechless for once, Alistair's words driving into him like nails. "At least being a Grey Warden is just as good as being a Templar," Alistair continues bitterly. "No one expects me to find some girl to marry so I can make her miserable when she finds out I'm not what she thought."
"Alistair," Zevran says, then shivers so hard he can't even finish this sentence for a moment.
When he can talk again, he has to force the words out around chattering teeth. "Those are not your only choices." Alistair makes a pained noise, and Zevran can see him grabbing fistfuls of his own hair. "Why not? Why do I deserve more than that? How can you say that after what I did? And then I come in here and yell at you?" He's breathing hard, great gasps like he might be crying, and Zevran clutches his arms tighter around himself.
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry."
"For what?" Zevran asks, tired and confused and ready to be angry again if it will only keep him upright and functional. "For what I did," Alistair chokes out. "I'm sorry, I should have stopped, and I just came in here to make sure you were all right. I thought I could sleep in the other tent, but then you yelled at me, and I didn't think, but you've got every right to be angry, and I'm sorry, I never wanted to hurt you, not like that." The flood of words is almost enough to drown in, too much like the earlier flood of water for Zevran's comfort, and he interrupts before it gets worse.
"You did stop," he points out.
"Not at first," Alistair says, his voice harsh. "I didn't know what you were saying, and I was just going to keep going."
"Pause," Zevran says quietly, and he can almost hear Alistair's teeth click as he closes his mouth. "You stopped when you knew what I was saying, and what else matters?"
"I should have known before that," Alistair says. "You were struggling, and I liked it."
The self-disgust is so thick in his voice that it almost hurts. "You stopped," Zevran says emphatically. "The watchword exists, so I might struggle if I wish." He wants to add something witty, or at least persuasive, but another shudder runs through him. "I can sleep in the other tent," Alistair says, so softly Zevran can barely hear him. "If I stay to the one end, I won't get rained on." "Don't," Zevran says, and he hates how his whole body wants to fold in on itself at the thought of sleeping alone right now. "Are you sure?" "Would I say so if I meant otherwise?" "Yes," Alistair says. From somewhere, half a laugh pushes past the nausea. "Fair," Zevran says, "but not true tonight." Alistair turns away, back towards the tent flap, and Zevran tightens his throat against any more words. He is a crow, and he will not beg, not for this. But Alistair is only tying the door closed, and Zevran is ashamed by the intensity of his relief. He fights it down as Alistair shuffles awkwardly across the tent and reaches slowly for his arm. He's just short of making contact. Alistair hesitates, as if waiting for Zevran to draw back. But when nothing happens, he closes the last distance. Objectively, his fingers are no warmer than Zevran's skin, but the contact is still a jolt, and Zevran twitches at the way it runs through him, this sudden need for closeness, to be skin to skin with another person. He hasn't felt anything like it since Rena's death took both her and Taliesin away from him. And on top of everything else tonight, it's too much. The shudder is almost enough to double him over, and Alistair jerks his hand back, mumbling another apology. That doesn't help, though, because the craving for touch doesn't vanish with the contact. If anything, it's stronger than ever, fighting the nausea and the shaking for Zevran's least favorite part of tonight. He's too tired to fight all of it, and besides, this is Alistair. What he hates about tonight is that he gave up all control willingly. Not that he gave it up to Alistair. If his mind had to betray him, there are worse times it could have happened. This time, he's the one who reaches out, finding Alistair's hand by a combination of luck and educated guess. Mostly the former, if he's honest. "I think sleep might be best," he says. Alistair cradles that one hand between both of his for a moment, then uses it to pull Zevran in close, chafing at his arms and his back until those weird chills are mostly gone. The warmth is more than physical, and Zevran knows that tomorrow he'll hate that as much as he hates the way he surrendered earlier, but he can't bring himself to care right now. Once Zevran has stopped shivering, Alistair uses a clean corner of a bedroll to scrub them both as clean as possible, wiping away mud and sweat and oil with firm strokes that keep the cold water from chilling Zevran all over again. Zevran lets him do it, moving in response to Alistair's quiet instructions, and otherwise staying where he's put. Something else he'll hate tomorrow, but can't care about tonight. The insides of the bedrolls are only slightly damp when Alistair wraps them both inside one, though the chill and the smell of wet wool are unpleasant. Zevran doesn't even bother to pretend to care. At least Alistair is warm enough for both of them. Zevran doesn't sleep well, but that he sleeps at all is miracle enough. And when he at last opens his eyes to light instead of darkness, the cold and the nausea are only memories. The fear is still there, but he can live with that. He's lived with it for years, after all. Only dead crows have the luxury of fearing nothing. What's both unfamiliar and unwelcome is the embarrassment. So intense that it crosses the line into mortification. Exactly how many times did he lose control last night? And what price will he pay for it this morning when Alistair wakes? That's the worst part. How uncomfortable he is with the body pressed tightly against his own. Other people might wake up with a lover and feel awkward or uncertain, but not Zevran. He grew up in a whorehouse, and since then, he's slept in too many beds with too many people, for morning afters to carry any weight. They're a part of choosing to stay rather than slip away in the night, and he might feign awkwardness for whatever reasons of his own, but he's never felt it for himself. He feels a little guilty now for all the times he made other people squirm over this same emotion. Not a lot guilty, but a little. Alistair is asleep, which at least gives Zevran time to think, to take all of these unnecessary emotions and purge them the way he was taught. Whatever did or didn't happen last night is irrelevant. He'll make it irrelevant, because he isn't going to let this change things between them. The last month has been far too much fun, and it would be a shame to return to their previous wary politeness. So he clears everything else away and waits for Alistair to wake, so he can put them back on the right foot and redraw the lines that were blurred last night. It isn't difficult to come up with a plan, not with Alistair's cock half-hard against his ass. There are advantages to fucking someone with so little experience and so much enthusiasm. While he waits, Zevran rolls his hips slowly, smiling when Alistair gives a pleased hum and presses closer. It's a pleasant game, teasing without waking. And by the time Alistair is completely hard, Zevran has banished last night to the void where it belongs. Of course, Alistair has to ruin it when he does wake, recoiling as far as their tangle of blankets will allow. I'm sorry, he gasps out, voice rough from sleep. I'm sorry. Zevran allows himself a moment to roll his eyes while his face is hidden, then turns over with his best seductive smile.
Sorry for what? He asks.
I didn't. I wouldn't. Last night.
Praska, why must the man make this difficult?
Let us forget last night, Zevran says, trailing his hand through the hair on Alistair's chest and down towards his cock, which is definitely still interested.
There are so many more interesting things we could be doing.
From right outside the tent, Mahariel calls softly, Alistair? And they both freeze. Zevran glares at him meaningfully and puts a finger to his lips, but Alistair ignores him. I'm awake, he calls back.
Can I talk to you?
She asks, sounding nervous. Give me a moment, he says, and begins to extricate himself from Zevran and the blankets. He pulls on trousers and tunic, but leaves his boots behind as he slips out of the tent. A little rain blows in as he does so, and Zevran catches a glimpse of Mahariel, looking much like a drowned cat before the flap closes. They move away from the tent, which is a shame, since that doesn't leave Zevran much to do except stew over Alistair's continued squeamishness. What is the man's problem? It would be difficult for Zevran to make it plainer that Alistair has nothing to apologize for, and yet he persists in doing so. He's gone long enough that Zevran is beginning to wonder if he's made good on his plan to sleep in the ripped tent, but eventually the flap opens and Alistair knee walks inside, awkwardly juggling two bowls and a mug. Zevran comes forward, quickly to relieve him of his burdens.
Someone found a way to keep a fire burning in this weather? He asks, surprised.
Not really, Alistair says, busying himself with closing the tent again. Morrigan just heated a pot for tea and porridge. Wynn seems concerned we'll all catch our deaths in this rain. Said we need the warmth.
Remind me to thank her,
Zevran says, sipping the tea. It burns all the way down, too hot under normal circumstances, but perfect right now.
Shall I assume we won't be moving on in the near future?
Mahariel wants to wait it out, Zevran says. At least for today. She said we'll see if it's still coming down like this tomorrow. As he talks, he folds himself down to sit cross-legged, as far from Zevran as the tent will allow. So far, in fact, that he has to stretch to reach his bowl.
Alistair,
Zevran sighs.
Zevran,
Alistair sighs right back.
Do I disgust you now?
Zevran asks. He knows that's not the case, but he also knows the words will get a reaction. Sure enough, Alistair's head snaps up, his eyes wide with horror. What? No! Why would you think that? Zevran raises an eyebrow and points meaningfully at the space between them. I thought you wouldn't want me so close, Alistair mutters, hiding his face by looking down at his bowl again. After what I did. Zevran briefly considers chucking his own bowl at Alistair's head, but it would be a shame to waste a hot breakfast. Perhaps the only hot meal he'll get today. How many times must I tell you? I can't trust what you tell me. Alistair interrupts, his voice low. Which is true, but a bit more perceptive than Zevran had expected from him. He's still trying to think of an answer when Alistair goes on. I saw you last night. Maybe it was dark, but I know you were upset. Very upset. Proska. Of course Alistair drew the wrong conclusion, his own shame warping Zevran's reaction into something other than what it was. That had nothing to do with you, Zevran says. Alistair looks up long enough to squint at him. It's a very skeptical look. Really? The quickest way out is through, then. Zevran takes a quiet breath, separating himself from the words, then says, there is a way to torture someone by pouring water over their face so they feel as though they are drowning. This time, Alistair's look is shocked rather than skeptical. And someone did that to you once? Sometimes it still catches Zevran flat-footed, how naive he is. Naive isn't stupid, though, and Zevran's pause is too long. Alistair's eyes grow wider. More than once? These things happen, Zevran says with a shrug. If he must be naive, Zevran wishes he could be just a little more so, because he can watch Alistair putting all the pieces together. The crows did that to you? He asks, shock melting into horror. Did you think they trained us by giving out sweets when we did our sums properly? He puts the sharpest edge he can on the words, because he truly doesn't wish to discuss this further. But you're an assassin, Alistair protests. Not a torturer. Sometimes assassins are caught. The memories are slipping closer, but he shoves them back, establishing the proper distance between himself and the conversation. The crows have a reputation to maintain, after all, and that reputation does not include betraying those who hire us. Zevran picks up his spoon and digs into the porridge, hoping Alistair will take the hint. But when he glances up, Alistair is still staring at him. The look on his face stirs a little anger in Zevran's chest. I did not ask for your pity, he snaps. Nor do I need it. I paid in blood for my skills, but they are mine now. Alistair ducks his head and prods at his own bowl without eating, which is an indication of exactly how upset he is. Eat, Zevran says, deliberately softening his tone. It will be cold before too much longer. I'm not hungry, Alistair says, but he eats a spoonful anyway. As soon as it's gone, he asks without looking at Zevran, how do you stand it? How do you stand knowing the calling waits for you? Zevran retorts. How do you stand knowing the calling may never be a concern for you because we face an archdemon? Mostly by not thinking about it, Alistair admits. A wry smile twists one corner of his mouth, acknowledging Zevran's point, though he still looks unhappy. It doesn't help anything to dwell on it. Zevran tilts his hand in his direction. Exactly. And besides, being a crow has provided me with the most entertaining stories. This is an act he knows well, comforting in its familiarity, and he embraces it wholeheartedly. He doesn't give Alistair the chance to regain control of the conversation, only launches into an exaggerated account of a job the masters gave him while he was still an apprentice. It's amusing, even without embellishment, and more than that by the time Zevran is done adding to it. Alistair laughs, reluctantly at first, almost guiltily, but eventually he's laughing so hard it's a wonder the others don't come around to ask what's happening. When the story is done, though, his smile fades and the grief comes back to shadow his face again. Not pity, at least. Not this time. but still not what Zevran was trying for. He extends one foot to prod Alistair in the thigh with his toes. Was my story so poor as that? You know it wasn't, Alistair says. He catches Zevran's ankle when he tries to prod him again, pinning his leg to the ground in a hold so light it would be easy enough to break if Zevran cared to try. They sit like that for a moment, Zevran contemplating another story to see if perhaps a second try will work better. Alistair contemplating who knows what with a frown that doesn't bode well. Whatever is going through Alistair's head, it's probably not anything Zevran wants him to think about. Before Zevran can settle on a story that's not too violent, Alistair sets aside his half-eaten breakfast and pulls Zevran's foot into his lap. It's startling, throwing off his balance just enough that he puts a hand down to steady himself, almost spilling his own breakfast in the process. What? He starts to ask. Then Alistair digs his thumb into the arch of Zevran's foot, firm pressure from the heel to the ball, and he forgets the rest of his sentence in the glorious ache radiating up his leg. Where did you learn that? He asks, closing his eyes to better appreciate the sensation. Marching around in armor all day is hard on the feet, Alistair says, almost conversationally. He has both hands involved now, thumbs working together, and Zevran tries not to groan. And Templar recruits do a lot of that. Shall I imagine some handsome, muscular Templar men rubbing each other down with oil? He cracks an eye open to gauge the reaction, and isn't disappointed. Alistair blushes, but he also laughs. If you want. It wouldn't be much like what really happened, though. Zevran waves one hand dismissively. Ah, well, such is the state of the world. I think I will imagine it anyway. That gets him a snort, which he expected, and a quick kiss to his ankle, which he didn't. The kiss is a little too sweet and romantic for his taste, but since Alistair no longer looks as if someone told him the archdemon had already won, Zevran decides to let it stand. Is this all right? Alistair asks, one knuckle pressing hard as it runs along the blade of his foot. Surprised, Zevran looks up, only to find Alistair smiling at him. No, smirking. It's terrible, Zevran tells him, flopping over onto his back. Utterly terrible. He almost calls it torture, but catches himself in time. If you do not stop, I will be forced to do something. Something? Alistair asks. Something, Zevran says decisively, and smiles to himself when Alistair chuckles. Zevran lets him work in silence for a little while, enjoying the ache as strong fingers work their way across his foot and ankle, and a little way up his calf. Other foot, Alistair says at last, setting the first one down, and Zevran is more than willing to obey, especially since Alistair takes advantage of the pause to strip off his damp tunic, leaving his chest bare for Zevran to appreciate. I feel you should know, he says, as Alistair begins to work on his other foot, that I am thinking about your Templars doing very inappropriate things. Alistair makes a small choking noise, and Zevran props himself up on one elbow, long enough to see his face. He's blushing, but he doesn't look upset. Satisfied, Zevran drops back to the bedroll. I think maybe only two to start with, don't you? The sound Alistair makes could be interpreted in a number of ways. Zevran pretends it's agreement. Shall I suck the first one, or let him fuck me? Another strangled noise from Alistair, and Zevran once again pretends there were actual words in it. Perhaps you're right. I think I might like a... He searches for the most ridiculous word he can think of. I think I might like some strapping young Templar on his hands and knees, begging me to fuck him. And what am I doing? Alistair asks, only stuttering a little. Delighted, Zevran grins at the canvas above his head. Oh, you are watching. Or perhaps you would prefer to be in command, to order us about to perform as you wish? Alistair coughs. You know what you're doing. I'll watch. Zevran is happy to paint him a scene worthy of some dirty Orlesian novel, paying careful attention to which fantasies make him laugh and which make him suck in his breath, not to mention which ones make his hands stop completely. It's not long before his cock is growing hard, but when he tries to stroke himself, Alistair stretches out to bat his hand away. "No," he growls. "No?" Zevran asks innocently. "No," Alistair repeats, still in that growl Zevran loves. "You can talk about it all you want, but that's mine." He's managed to avoid saying certain words, words he's never said without stuttering. But Zevran is feeling magnanimous right now, and declines to push the matter by asking him what, exactly, he plans to do, and with which body parts. Instead, they go back to their imaginary Templars, who are currently occupied with licking Zevran's cock together. Alistair doesn't object, if the hitch in his breathing is any indication. Alistair finishes with his feet, about the time Zevran begins considering another attempt to stroke himself, to see what punishment it might provoke. That thought vanishes as Alistair peels off his trousers, then crawls up Zevran's body, thumbs digging between his thighs to spread them wide. He settles there, sucking on Zevran's balls and generally proving that he was paying very close attention to every word of the story. An expert he isn't, and even if he was listening, his body is still learning how to follow his mind's instructions. He hasn't done this very often, Zevran knows, and he's about as skilled as might be expected. Still, he concentrates with an intensity that makes up for a certain lack of finesse, his eyes raising occasionally to check Severin's face. And that's a sight all by itself, Alistair with his mouth full of cock and his pupils blown wide. He's gentle and careful, which isn't Severin's preference, but he's aware that last night was hard on Alistair too. If this is all he's comfortable with today, then so be it. There will be other times for other things, and if it's not easy for Zevran to find his release like this, he'll get there eventually. Besides, it's hardly torture to spend more time letting Alistair suck him. Alistair lifts his mouth away, and Zevran swears at him until he laughs. "Put your hands here," Alistair says, patting the ground beside Zevran's hip. Zevran's hands are currently making fists in his hair, but he flexes his fingers and then drops his hands to his sides. Alistair is rearranging their bodies, pushing Zevran's legs together so he's straddling them now, his left leg bent so his shin crosses both of Zevran's on the diagonal. Then his hands come down on Zevran's wrists and his mouth comes back down on Zevran's cock, and Zevran arches up into him, gasping for breath. It's not a very secure hold, but it gives him something to push against, Alistair's body pinning his legs. The grip on his wrists is painfully tight, Alistair's weight pushing down on him, and Zevran twists against it for the way it burns his skin. He's actually a little impressed by Alistair's strength, that he can manage this position for any length of time, and the reminder of that strength is as arousing as the rest of it. The position does add another layer of challenge to something Alistair hasn't mastered, but he sucks Zevran's cock as best he can. And it isn't as if Zevran needs much. Not like this. He pushes up with his legs, grinding his shins against Alistair's until it hurts, and pushes against the hold on his wrists, just to remind himself it's there, and spills in Alistair's mouth with a groan. Alistair sucks him until he stops shaking, mouth working his cock as it softens. It's painfully too much, but pain isn't necessarily a bad thing, and this pain sends tiny shocks up his spine that make him want to beg for more. When Alistair finally pulls away and releases his wrists, Zevran tugs lightly at his hair. "Come up here," he orders. It takes a second for Alistair to unfold himself, and Zevran just enjoys watching him, the way he's not even trembling despite the awkward position he's been holding. Alistair is so careful most of the time, it's easy to forget how strong he is, and Zevran makes a note to take greater advantage of that in the future. Alistair looks up and catches him watching. Not that Zevran bothers trying to hide his appreciation, because it's definitely a sight worth appreciating. Alistair, on hands and knees above him, hard cock hanging down where Zevran could easily wrap his hand around it. His hand, or his mouth, if Alistair will only stop staring and move. Another tug on his hair provides all the encouragement he needs to crawl up and brace his elbows on either side of Zevran's head to kiss him. It's a wet, filthy kiss, his hips grinding against Zevran's and his chest pressing down hard, because of course he remembers Zevran likes that. For a moment, the whole thing is as terrifying as having water poured onto his face, because he's an assassin, a crow, and no one is supposed to know more about him than he wants them to know. No one is supposed to study him with the focus Alistair applies to it. He shoves all those thoughts to the side, the way he was taught. Alistair is a terrible liar, which means Zevran also knows when he's telling the truth. And last night's bitter confession was true. There's nothing more between them than a way to pass the time, combined with Alistair's eagerness to learn. Alistair breaks the kiss, mouth dropping down to Zevran's throat for a quick, sharp bite. "I told you that was mine," he says, the last word almost a growl, and Zevran very deliberately doesn't think about the way that makes his cock twitch. "Allow me to return the favor," he asks instead, murmuring the words into Alistair's ear, so close his lips brush against it. "Not like that," he adds when Alistair goes to roll onto his back. "How then?" Alistair asks, breathless and confused. Zevran shows him, gets him up to sit across his chest, cock resting against Zevran's mouth. Alistair's eyes are wide and dark, and his hips make small, involuntary thrusts, but he resists when Zevran tries to pull him down. "You can't say pause like this," Alistair says. Zevran squeezes his hands on Alistair's hips. "I will let go if I need you to stop." He waits for Alistair's nod before he adds, "But if I haven't let go, then you must take me at my word when I say that I want you to fuck my mouth." Alistair's hips jerk, and Zevran cranes his neck enough to suck the head of his cock, licking across the slit once before dropping his head back. "No thinking," he says, staring Alistair down. "If I have not let go, then I want more." "All right," Alistair says, and takes a deep, shuddering breath. "All right." Despite his words, he starts slow and tentative, shallow thrusts that barely brush the head of his cock past Zevran's lips. It doesn't help that the angle is a little awkward in a tent, without a wall for Alistair to brace against, but he plants his hands on the ground past Zevran's head and rolls his hips down. Another thoughtless display of strength Alistair takes for granted, and Zevran doesn't bother to smother his groan at the reminder. As if that sound was what he was waiting for, Alistair begins to pick up his pace, going deeper, pushing harder, not as deep or as hard as he could, though. So Zevran squeezes his hips and pulls them down, forcing Alistair to fuck his mouth properly, until Alistair's cock is hitting the back of his throat on every thrust. Each breath Alistair takes ends in a soft groan now, his hips snapping forward, his body pressing down harder against Zevran's head as he curls in on himself. Zevran can hardly breathe, and the back of his head aches from the hard ground, but he still pulls Alistair in, relaxing his throat to take more. Alistair's weight shifts, and one of his hands combs roughly through Zevran's hair to grab a fistful of it. He pulls hard, making Zevran groan, and then he whimpers like he's in pain and shoves his cock all the way in, freezing there with his cock pulsing against Zevran's tongue. Zevran swallows, and Alistair whimpers again, hips thrusting even though he can't go any deeper. His muscles begin to unlock at last, and he breathes out, "Maker, the things you do to me." From his current position, there is nothing Zevran can say to that, so he settles for patting Alistair's hip and trying to breathe as best he can. Alistair straightens up soon enough, sliding back so he can stare down at Zevran with a dazed look on his face. "Are you all right?" he asks, voice wavering a little on the last word. "Oh yes," Severin says. His throat is wrecked, but he doesn't really care.
Though I will not be if you fall on me.
True, Alistair murmurs, as if Severin has imparted some deep philosophical thought. He doesn't so much lay down as fall slowly, only half-controlled, putting Severin in with him so they end up face-to-face on their sides. Alistair kisses him again, lazily, tongue tasting every inch of his mouth, while his hand on Zevran's chin holds him still for it. As if Severin has any intention of moving away. Gradually, those fingers drift up, rubbing at his jaw.
Does it hurt? Alistair asks.
A bit, Severin admits. He copies the gesture, his fingers pressing lightly just in front of Alistair's ear.
Does yours not?
It does, Alistair says. He smiles, self-satisfied. Worth it, though.
Exactly, Zevran murmurs. It will be fine soon enough.
Alistair says. It sounds like agreement, except his fingers are still rubbing at Zevran's jaw, occasionally wandering up to his scalp, where it tingles from having his hair pulled. Zevran tries to pull away, but Alistair's hand tightens.
Let me, he says, his voice half sleepy, half commanding.
It will be fine, Zevran repeats.
So?
Alistair says, and Zevran blinks, caught without an answer.
I like this,
Alistair adds, slinging one hand over Zevran's to pull him closer.
So shush.
Bemused, Zevran shushes, letting Alistair rub his jaw and his scalp and his neck. No matter how sleepy Alistair's gaze, his grip is firm, and Zevran has to admit that it does feel good. His own eyes drift closed, and he doesn't fight it. When Alistair's hand finally stops moving, Zevran says,
"We should eat breakfast."
The words end up mumbled into Alistair's chest, because his hand has come to rest, cupped around the back of Zevran's head.
"Breakfast?" Alistair asks sleepily.
"Breakfast," Zevran says, shifting just enough so he can speak more clearly.
"You do remember Wynne's lovely porridge that we've allowed to grow cold?"
"Don't want to think about Wynne right now," Alistair says, sounding almost sulky. His arms and legs tighten around Zevran. Zevran laughs softly, inclined to let sleeping warriors lie. Until Alistair's stomach rumbles loudly enough for both of them to hear.
"Fine," Alistair mutters, as if Zevran had said something.
"Fine breakfast." He seems to wake up a little as they untangle themselves, and even more when he sticks his head out to check the weather.
"No change," he reports, tying the flap closed again, "and everyone else is staying in their tents."
Zevran suspects that's the real reason Alistair took a look around, but he says nothing, just hands over one of the bowls of porridge. Cold and gluey as it is, it's far from the worst meal either of them has ever eaten.
"You know," Alistair says after a while, tilting his head back to stare at the canvas, and the rain spattering down on it,
"I think you're right."
"Of course I am," Zevran says automatically.
"Though, which time in particular were you thinking of?" Alistair rolls his eyes, but the corners of his mouth are curving in a smile.
"I think maybe I like the rain after all."
"Maybe?" Zevran asks.
"Only maybe. I may be inclined to take that as a challenge."
"Good," Alistair says, and Zevran laughs. The end.
Oh,
If you enjoyed this podfic, you can leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!